So lean in. The word on the street is that Unity Spiritual Center has the most amazing, talented, loving, kind, unique, fabulous, generous people coming to it. Yes. Yes. And that includes staff, board members, musicians, volunteers, choir, youth, adults, congregants, visitors. Did I miss anybody? Now, have you heard this rumor? Because it's called God gossip. God gossip, and that's the only kind we want to spread around. God gossip. We're continuing in our 12 Powers series today. So far, we've talked about faith, strength, love, and wisdom. And my talk title this morning is a rather redundant one, The Power of Power. Now, that's another reason why they call these powers, also call them spiritual capacities or innate gifts or abilities that we have. We all have them inside of us. The power of power. And what we're really talking about here is the power of the spoken word. Our words have power. Book of Job, scripture says, "You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. And I love that word decree. You know, it makes me think of, it means to order with authority. To order with authority. It makes me think of a king or a queen issuing a decree, and because of the authority of the crown, it becomes law. What we are decreeing in our lives actually becomes our personal reality of life. And that's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? Unless every word that's coming out of our mouths is what we want to see come forth in our lives. And here I am doing this talk on this, and all the way in, I'm fretting about what's going to happen with the technology. I caught myself about 18 times going, power of power, let's not do that today. And of course, we're not just talking about the words that we speak. We're talking about the inner dialogue that goes on in our heads. You know the one I'm talking about? That internal dialogue is just as much in play here, maybe more so. But I love this idea that before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. The first gate, is it true? The second, is it necessary? And the third, is it kind? And the guardian of those gates is the heart. And it's a great rule of thumb, but here's what we need to get. It's equally important to have the words go through those gates, whether we're speaking out loud or speaking to ourselves. It matters. There were two snakes having a conversation. The one snake said, "Are we poisonous?" The other said, "You bet we are. Why do you ask?" "I just bit my tongue." That's not good. You ever bitten your own tongue? Yes. That's what negative self-talk can do. So the words we speak have power. We can either bless ourselves and others with loving, kind, affirming words, heart-centered words, or we can do the opposite. You see, we have a choice. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And if we look around at our personal reality, what we're seeing is what we've previously decreed. Let that sink in for a second. Imagine that. You have been given authority and dominion over your own personal reality. And what you say is what happens in your kingdom. Now, does that mean we're responsible for every single thing that's showing up in our world? No. Or are we responsible for other people's behavior? Did we somehow create that in our lives? No. Believing that is what's called metaphysical malpractice, where we look at things and beat ourselves up for what we're seeing. It's not about blame. It's not about self-blame or beating ourselves up. But it is about using our power to transform our own experience of what is showing up. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? We have the choice, and the words we speak have a definite effect on our experience. You know, I'm one of those odd people that loves language, just love words, especially like learning new words and their origin. All that fascinates me. When I was a kid in school, they used to call me Dictionary Jane. And not in any sort of admiring way, I assure you. I look up the words the fastest in the class. So I fully admit to being a word nerd, but words are powerful. They are like lasers of thought. And before we speak the words, we gather our thoughts together in a coherent fashion, hopefully, and then we express them. And it's in that gathering and expression that there is a laser-like effect that gets created. And when we use the heart center to guide us, the more we practice that, the more we develop our hearts as a portal of alignment with spirit. Do you feel that? We have it here. I love this stuff. It's the access point to our deeper wisdom. James Allen in the book, As You Think, says something I've shared in the past. I think it's worth repeating. We are made or unmade by ourselves. In the armory of thought, we forge the weapons by which we destroy ourselves. We also fashion the tools with which we build for ourselves heavenly mansions of joy and strength. Peace. In the same inner space, we can forge weapons or create mansions. And it's the heart that guides us into creating those mansions. So the words we choose have the power to bless or curse. I mean, have you ever said anything you regretted? Anyone? Spoke in haste or in anger, and then later tried to repair it? They have an effect. There's a saying, to keep your words sweet, you may have to eat them someday. So just imagine with me this morning that every word you speak is a message to the universe. And these messengers have the power to accomplish whatever we send them out on. They don't return empty-handed. Ernest Holmes, New Thought teacher, says, infinite mind is the actor and you are the announcer. So what are you announcing to the universe? Something to consider. What's the message you're conveying? What are you decreeing? Because our subconscious mind's always listening to our words, you know, busily playing back whatever is programmed into it. It's like a recorder that's always on, doesn't judge what it hears, it just listens and then acts upon it. So we really need to be mindful of our words. Will Rogers counsels us to live in such a way that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell your pet parrot to the town gossip. So we want to stick to God gossip. Because an encouraging word can make the difference for someone who is down, you know, can help lift them up, help them get through the day. A discouraging word to someone who's down, what does that do? And often those destructive words are aimed at our own selves. And of course, it's not just the words we say. It's what we radiate with those words that counts. It's the emotional tone and quality. It's the intensity of feeling. It's the attitude. It's the belief behind it. That's what gives our words such great creative power. So what are we saying to ourselves? What are we believing about ourselves? What are we believing and saying about the world? You know, we never know the extent of the effect that our words can have, both positive and negative, both in the inner realm and the outer. So we need to choose them wisely. Because this is what I know. The power of spirit within us is set in motion by the words we choose and express. Isn't that cool? When you speak, do it with authority, because you are source in expression. Feel the power of that and let your words reflect the truth of who you are. So Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, used affirmative words to help heal her body. At a lecture one night, she heard this phrase, "I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness." She heard those words and they landed for her. She really resonated with them. They made a difference. They touched her. And using that affirmation, she spent 2 years on a healing journey and was eventually cured of tuberculosis, which was a death sentence in those days. So listen to those words. I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit addiction. I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit an overweight body. I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit an unhealthy, unhappy relationship. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit lack. How would you end that sentence? I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit. Think about how you would finish that sentence. Do you have something? Because I'm going to invite us all to say it with authority. We'll say together, I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit, and then we'll all just shout out what it is for us. And I'm going to invite you, if you're able, to stand to do this. And whether you stand or you sit, hands on hip, we want to do this with attitude. Are you ready? I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit lack. All right. You may sit down. Thank you. And again, it's not just the words. The power in these words comes when they are backed up with emotion and conviction. Believe them. Feel them. Send them forth with the power of spirit, with authority, and see them come to fruition. The reason Myrtle Fillmore was so successful in her affirmative prayer to heal was that she did a complete about face and affirmed only words of healing and love and forgiveness to her body. She'd spent her entire life up until then believing she was sickly and would die at a young age from tuberculosis. And she stopped right then. She turned it right around. She did not spend one more moment talking about illness or lack. And it took her 2 years, but she was completely healed. Now, she was motivated. She'd been given 6 months to live. She was ready to try anything. And she saw so clearly the power of our words that she believed that even the walls of your home would soak up negative comments and urged everyone to never use them. Now, that may or may not be true, but here's what I know. They stick to the walls of our minds. When I constantly talk about my troubles or illness, I stay stuck in a place of perceived powerlessness and victimhood. And I've been there. We cannot make changes to our lives if we stay stuck in the story and keep talking about it. The coach, Tommy Lasorda, said, don't tell your friends your problems. Half of them don't care, and the other half are glad you got them. We like to tell it like it is. Now, this does not mean that we keep everything bottled up inside, you know, or that we ignore things that are happening that we don't like and would like to change, or that we pretend that everything's okay when it's not. Part of our healing can be to tell the story, especially if we're going through some kind of trauma or grief process or a loss of some kind, recovering, you know, a deep hurt, it can be helpful to tell the story. But the time comes when we realize, you know what, I'm stuck in this story. Do you know what I'm talking about here? I'm stuck in this story. And then that's when we want to make the choice to focus on what is healing. And there's a big difference between spiritual denial and psychological denial. Spiritual denial does not deny the fact that there is an illness, but it does deny the power it has over us. Psychological denial is closing our eyes, pretending there's no problem. You know that old joke about the unity person who dies and goes to hell and keeps walking around going, "This is not hell and I'm not hot." It's not that. So we can see the fact, maybe there's a need for healing, and through spiritual denial, we can know the truth, that it has no power over us. In the face of it, we affirm, I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit illness. We affirm there's only one presence and one power. We affirm that nothing and no one is against me. And as we hold to that truth, we can use our power constructively, you see, and create a personal reality, nothing short of miraculous. Now you might say, wait a minute, I've been affirming prosperity since 1987. I ain't seeing a whole lot of change. When that happens, we can usually discover a belief that's in the way. So if I'm affirming prosperity and believing in lack, the belief will win, hands down. As Richard Bach says it, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. See? Affirmations don't work because there's some magic in the words. They work because they change the belief. See? We do them until that becomes our truth. We start to shift it. They really do work. So we can use whatever is showing up in our personal reality to shine a light for us on whether there might be some internal limiting belief hanging around and what it might be. And if we have a stubborn one, instead of arguing internally for our limitations, we have spiritual practices to turn that around. The Q process is designed with this in mind. The disciple that metaphysically represents power is Philip, which means lover of horses. We're talking about horsepower here. Horsepower. Now, Philip was very powerful. In the book of Acts, we read that through the spoken word, Philip healed the sick. He sometimes had trouble understanding what the spiritual message was behind it all, but that did not seem to interfere with his ability, with the power of his spoken word. So we don't have to know how it all works. We just have to use it with conviction, with belief, and with emotion and authority. Do you know how powerful you are?
Yes.
Say it with power.
Yes.
So we have the opportunity every moment to choose words of truth, of kindness, of love, of compassion, of blessing. And we have the choice every moment of seeing the events of our lives as blessings, finding what's good in it, and focusing on that. Might take a while to get there, but we can do it. There's a story about a king who was suffering from a painful ailment, and his astrologer told him that the only cure was for him to find a happy, contented man, someone who never complained or spoke negative words. So the king sent out his messengers throughout the realm to find one. Months passed by, and then they returned, but without, and he told them to get this person's shirt. Find this guy, I need his shirt. I'm gonna wear it and heal. But they came back without a shirt. So they said, did you find someone like this? And they said, yes, we found one man. He said, well, where's the shirt? He said, well, you didn't have one. You gotta wait for that one. No matter what's happening in our lives, we can find what the gift is if we hold to it. if we use spiritual denial and affirm the reality of it, we will find that gift. We have the power to speak these positive, uplifting words, and we can change our lives that way. So, quick quiz this morning. What do the following people have in common? Ralph Waldo Emerson, Lao Tzu, Mahatma Gandhi, Stephen Covey, the Buddha, and Margaret Thatcher's dad. They all got things done. I don't know her dad personally. But did someone say something about positive something? They all use positive words. Well, in fact, they're all attributed to saying a different version of this very thing. I will keep my thoughts positive because my thoughts become my words. I will keep my words positive because my words become my actions. I will keep my actions positive because my actions become my values. I will keep my values positive because my values become my destiny. Now, that used to be the creed that we recited together as a class, every class in my karate dojo. In fact, when I find myself saying it, I want to get into this karate stance. The words we habitually speak with conviction and emotion become the pathway that we ultimately travel in life. Today's words become tomorrow's experience of reality. They become our destiny. So we want to keep them sweet, because we might have to eat them. So if we don't like what's showing up, we have the authority to change our experience of it and decree what it is we do want. So I invite us all to stop biting our own tongues, to find what is working in our world and focus on that and speak about that. To be impeccable with our word. You remember the book, The Four Agreements? Be impeccable with our word, both externally and internally. And let's start a whole lot of God gossip. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Okay, then let's practice. I'm going to invite you right now to turn to a person near to you and share some God gossip. One thing you love about your life right now. We'll take 2 minutes to do this. Go. Oh, I feel like I've got my back to you too. So what's wonderful in your life? Everything is wonderful. Awesome. Yeah. Have you all had a chance to share some God gossip? This week I invite you to really spread around some God gossip. And let your heart guide you through the three gates. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And so it is.